A big brother sits with his much younger little brother in the grass looking out over the lake. He tells him a story, and the little guy hangs on his every word, so intently, listening, interested, happy just to be with him. He's his hero. He wants to be just like him. And so he does, hang on his every word. As we turn to the gospel for today, we find Jesus sitting and telling stories to a lot of people who are fascinated by him and hanging on his every word. He's actually sitting on a boat out in the lake because there are too many in the crowd sitting on the shore for him to sit with them and be heard by them. They listened intently to him, eager to hear what he had to say. Those lakeside stories that he told are called parables, stories that talked about everyday kind of things, but had meanings that soared far above them, expressing spiritual truths. We sometimes call parables earthly stories with heavenly meanings. On this day, his stories had to do with the power of God that grows the kingdom of believers by working in people's hearts and bringing them to faith. Rulers and governments all have their ways of trying to build and enlarge their kingdoms. Well, God has his way too. These stories of Jesus help us to understand how God does that. That God grows his kingdom in his way. He does it with his power, with his people, by his power, and at his pace. The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed on the ground. Simple start to the story, right? Maybe you've even done this. Spread grass seed on the ground, or maybe sprinkled wildflower seeds so that you could see those pop up in the spring. Even if you haven't done that, you get how that's done. If you truly need a visual, stained glass window number 5 right back there will give you something to look at. This is pretty easy for us to understand because the scattering or the planting that we do, it's an everyday kind of thing. It's very familiar to us. But this is a parable, so there's much more here. Jesus is the one who scatters the seed, which is his word, but he does it through people. He uses you. He uses you, he uses me, parents, pastors, teachers, missionaries. He used the Apostle Paul, he used the other disciples. The seed is the word of God, and God uses people to do his work of scattering that seed throughout the world. That seed of the word goes into the ground. Well, what's the ground? The ground is the heart. The heart of a person is where that scattered seed falls. The message of sins forgiven in Christ and eternal life by faith in him then begins to grow in that heart. And then faith sprouts and emerges and eventually comes into this beautiful full bloom. And so the kingdom of God, his gracious rule over human hearts, grows as each new seed comes to life. And as that plant and the one after it and the one after it are added to the family of believers, then the kingdom of God then grows. It's important to see that the seed scatterer that God uses simply is the way that he gets the word to people so that he can work on their hearts. If you've ever seen the installation of a pastor, you know how that goes. Up here, the pastor will stand up there. The rest of the pastors that are there will stand behind the rail. And one by one, they'll go to the new pastor and they'll say who they are and which church they're from. And they'll say some words of welcome. And then they'll offer some encouragement along with the Bible passage as this new pastor is beginning his work. I have a favorite one that I like to use, and I use it whenever I can, unless one of the other pastors steals it, and then I got to come up with something else to use. So my encouragement to them is to not let pride or despair affect them as they preach the word. Pride, when God grants success to the gospel, or despair when they do that work and nothing seems to come from it. I encourage them to always remember that we're just God's servants doing what he asks us to do. to drive home the point that we're just people scattering the seed for God, I use these words from Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. He said, "What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? They are ministers through whom you believed, and each served as the Lord gave him his role. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but it is God who causes the growth." It makes Jesus' point about the man sowing the seed, doesn't it? Occasionally, we can sinfully attach too much importance to us as we share Jesus. Our thoughts, our words might suggest that we have something to do with the gospel's success when we share Jesus with somebody and then they come to faith. That's sinful because we're forgetting that we're just the seed scatterers. We can spread the gospel around, we can share it with people, but we don't have the power to make it work. We don't have the power to make somebody to believe that. That's God's work. God grows his kingdom his way. We scatter the seed of God's word for him. He's the one that causes faith to grow. That's what Jesus meant as he continued his earthly illustration. He says, "And while the man sleeps and rises, night and day, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. The ground produces fruit on its own. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head." So you plant a seed, and then you go to sleep at night. And you get up in the morning, and you take a look, and all you see is dirt. So then you go about your day, and then you go to sleep again at night. And you get up in the morning, and you look, and nothing but dirt. And this goes on day after day until finally it breaks through. And you see green. And over the next days and weeks and months, you're able to see the growth of the plant or the flower or the tree. We stand there looking down, and we don't see anything that's happening under the ground or in the seed itself. And we don't really know how it happens. I saw the seed, and now I see the plant, but what happened? How did it happen? And yes, you can do a Google search, and you can learn about potassium and nitrogen and phosphorus and all the essential nutrients for a plant, and you can study the different kinds of soil, and you can learn about photosynthesis. But you can gather all of the facts, and you still won't completely understand just how that happens. You're never going to be able to understand how all of that came to be, that it works like that, and you'll never see the power that is behind it, because it is the Creator who makes that happen, and he does it in the background where you can't see it. God's word is just like this. A little bit of God's law and talk about sin and the human heart is looking for relief. The simple truth that Jesus paid for those sins starts that invisible work of faith in the human heart. And that faith then grows in a way that you and I cannot observe. And it's something we can't understand. All we know is that God does it, and he does it in the background. The seed of the gospel, it germinates as the Holy Spirit causes it to work in ways we can't see. So faith grows and grows in the individual, and as more and more people have that seed planted in them, then the kingdom of God grows more and more. The Holy Christian Church that we talk about in the Creed, the kingdom of God continues to grow. The unseen power of God causes the kingdom to grow significantly. That happens through the gospel. And that's Jesus' example of the mustard seed. A tiny seed, something so simple, is planted, but then it grows into this great plant, big enough that birds can perch on its branches. Sometimes you witness this. Sometimes you see this happen, that you see God's kingdom grow right here. A friend brings a friend to church. And they sit here and they hear the word of God. And then maybe they go home and they start reading their Bible. Or maybe they come to church again and again and they're hearing the word of God. And then maybe they take our Bible information course, the Grow in Grace classes, and they learn more and they ask questions and they start to express the things that they now believe. And then you see this faith-filled life. Can't see how the Holy Spirit is working, but you can absolutely see that the Holy Spirit is working. And some of you know how this feels, because you came to faith later in life and it was just this process. Or maybe you can relate because you can remember how it felt as you grew in faith. Or maybe you just watched this happen in a person. If you've done any of that, you have seen the kingdom of God grow with the addition of each new Christian. The kingdom of God, Jesus was talking about in these parables, is the collection of all of the Christians throughout the world. That's the thing that grows as the word is scattered. That kingdom is made up of those individuals who experience that sprouting and then growing of faith. God forgive us when we focus on the wrong things when it comes to the growth of his kingdom. We might think sometimes that if only I had better words to say, then that person would believe. Or if I had all of the answers to all of their religious questions, well, then that person would believe. If only the pastor was a better preacher, then that person would believe. And we focus on church buildings and programs and all kinds of other things, thinking that this or that is going to make a person believe. Our way of making believers is not the way God says that this happens. Then we hear a lakeside story like this one, and the storyteller, who forgives us for those things, reminds us that we and all of our things cannot cause the seed of his word to crack open and begin the process of growth in a person's heart. God grows his kingdom his way, and his way is this. People come to believe when they hear the word of God, and God's power creates that faith. And God works it in ways you and I can't see or completely understand. If you've ever grown vegetables, you know that it requires patience. It requires patience as you watch the plant grow. It requires patience as you wait for the harvest. You don't want to pick too soon, right? Tomatoes should be full, red, and ripe. You want big carrots, not the tiny little ones, so you have to wait. If you're like me, you want nothing to do with green bell peppers, so you have to wait. They'll turn yellow or red or orange. The more you know about how all of this works, the better you know what time to harvest those vegetables. How long will it be before the harvest of Christian souls comes? We can grow a little impatient with that. How long will it be before the Lord calls me to eternal life? Or how long will it be for the last day when Jesus will swing the sickle and he'll release us and take us to be in heaven with him? We can grow impatient. But God knows exactly when to bring the harvest in. With perfect knowledge and perfect love and divine wisdom and perfect patience, he waits for the crop to be ready. On that day, all those within whom faith has been planted and grew will be brought to heaven with him. And that includes you and includes me. As you patiently wait for those days, for that day, think of these lakeside stories told by Jesus and how they teach that God grows his kingdom his way, He does it with his people. He does it by his power. And he does it at his pace until it's harvest time. Amen.